As it is with our marriage seminars, the same is true with our parenting seminars. There are lots of different dynamics. The best that we could hope for is to give you some, certainly some biblical principles, but some practical principles that are general in nature that will help you in whatever phase. We could have taken any one of those seasons of parenting and really talked about, even played out, well, what does that conversation look like? It's one of the things we were just talking about here. It's just, you can't. But when Tammy and I began to look at our material and saying, man, there is, you know, husband and wife thing, it's there can be some problems and some dynamics, but it's a lot about him and her. You take five kids, and there's a lot of dynamics. Exponentially, the whole thing grows. But there are some things that we felt that were really essential. And I'm going to share those with you in a little bit of a rapid fire. But if nothing else, they will summarize what we've talked about or perhaps put in your mind a something that you can specifically or practically hang on to. Number one. Parenting is intentional. There are three kinds of parenting style, and I don't mean that whole thing about helicopter parents and all that. I mean this. One is what most people do. It's called accidental parenting. That is where you go through life parenting on the fly without any intentional preparation, and as such, accidental parenting often leaves carnage, right? Because it's not on purpose, it's accidental. Most people thinking, I got it. This isn't that hard, jump into it, and they work on the fly. Your presence here today is an act of intentionality. Not if you walk away here doing everything the way we suggested, knowing everything we said to do the way we suggested, but you have taken an intentional act to say, I don't know, maybe I walk away with one thing I need to remember. If nothing else, the one thing you've been intentional. Parenting from before the child is born and through it for the parents requires that intentionality of constant conversation. It needs to be adjustable. It needs to be adaptable. It needs to be consistent, but you both need to be on the same page as it moves through that. The other kind is surrogate parenting. Perhaps some of you have been guilty of this. Maybe it is where the church where you attend has a great youth minister, and they're our surrogate parent. You find this usually when a parent is upset with the way their kid turns out, and they come to the shepherds of a local church, maybe the preacher, maybe even to the youth minister themselves, and say, our kid is a mess, you're not doing your job. When in fact the youth minister is a tool of the parent to use in their parenting, not to give them off. You don't give your kids off to the Bible class. You don't give them off to the preacher. You don't give them off to the shepherds. You don't give them off to the youth minister. You don't give them off to the school teacher. You don't give them off to the baseball coach. You're not able to give them off. And that includes grandparents too. You are the parent, and it is your primary parenting. The third is intentional parenting. That's where you are deliberate about not just doing it, but being better at it, to educate, to assess, to adjust as is necessary. Intentional parenting is a must for successful parenting. Just because you accidentally got a kid that turned out to be really good doesn't mean that you did a great job parenting. Now, I will say on the other side of that, had a friend of mine kind of chastise me, I guess. I was talking about a prodigal son this and a prodigal daughter that, and I talked about what Tammy and I felt that we didn't do and we could have done better. And he says, how come you're in there talking about your other three kids? I said, well, because Kyle can't match his socks and we're embarrassed of him. No, two of our sons are youth ministers in the Oklahoma City area, and our son Kyle is a vice principal. He is a math teacher, and he is, I guess for lack of a better term, he is the lay youth minister. He works for a living, but he receives a little compensation for the church where he's at to be their youth director, and he and his wife do a fantastic job at it. And he said, if you're going to take the hit for maybe not doing everything you should for the prodigals, it's okay for you to take a little credit maybe for the way they turned out. I said, no, those were by accident. But anyway, You need to understand that it takes intentional parenting. Number two, and probably could make it number one, but it's a part of that, and that is the idea of a God-first family. We talked about in the marriage thing, it's more than just saying we go to church and I'm a Christian, wife's a Christian, we're going to make our kids Christian one day. It's about truly saying our life is measured by our relationship to God and to His Son Jesus. We are obsessed with it. We are overtaken by it. It is what we think about going to a job to allow us resources that we can be more generous to others the way God has been generous to us. We encourage our kids to pick a university that will help them to be educated, that will give them a career, that will allow them to be of greater service in the kingdom. That where we live and how we use our money is a direct relationship with where our priorities lie. And that God-first home is the best hope that you have for a successful family. I had someone come to me and their son was getting ready to head off to school, the first of their two. And she was a longtime friend, and she says, I'm worried about my son going off to college. And he was going off to a Christian college, but she said, I'm worried because, well, as you know, that even on a Christian college campus, there's all sorts of temptations. She goes, he's going to be out there on his own. The world is out there and with its temptations, and I'm just really worried about him. I don't know. I said, I have no guarantee that he's going to be who he's supposed to be. And I said, you're right, you don't. You do not have a guarantee. But here's what I could guarantee you. That had you not instilled in him what he needed to know in regards to his relationship, I could guarantee you he would not find it. It is just very rare that a young man or a young woman with no association with spiritual things, just one day without some other influence, comes to that. So if you're a parent that's got a kid that's a prodigal, know that you have planted a seed that may remain currently dormant, but all seeds do till they blossom again. And there is great hope in knowing that even though it currently is not reaping the harvest that you hope for it, the seed is there, and with God's help, it will bloom again. So that's a good thing to put that God first. On top of it, you need His help to accomplish what He's called you to do. I think it would be extremely cruel of God to call you to do something that He knew you couldn't do by yourself and then not offer to help you. I don't know how He operates in His providential care, but I am positive that He does. That He is working on our behalf even though we don't see Him. And sometimes it may very well be, as Tammy and I have talked about in regards to our prodigal children, that it may very well be that God is working through this situation not to help our child or to help us, but to help someone else. A friend of mine puts it this way, sometime God allows you to be where you are so that He can get someone else to where they need to be. We already have an opportunity through our prodigal children to access the lives of some people that we would never know and access. And if you want to say, well, that's just Christian rationalization, so be it. I'm just saying it has opened opportunities that we would never have imagined, the opportunity to encourage other parents with similar situations. Do I wish it? No. Do I wish it for them? Absolutely not. But God continues to work in ways that are beyond me. And I need to quit saying I need to see it if I'm going to walk by faith in you. And that's part of that God first. Number three. Slow down. I hate those trite promotional posters, but parenting is a marathon, not a sprint. The expectation that everything is going to happen fast because everything in your world is happening fast is a mistake. It will take a long time for your kids to become what they're supposed to be, because we know it's taken a long time for us to become even part of what we're supposed to be. And it is not going to help by running the clock faster than it will go. by filling your plate fuller than it will hold, by doing more than you can possibly do. We're convinced if there's anything, we have a world in which technology is supposed to have simplified it. Turn a key, instant transportation. Insert a card, instant money, most of the time. Pick up a phone, instant communication. Turn a knob, instant entertainment. We are in a fast-paced world and we have less time than we have ever had in our life. And that's because we're hooked on the Facebook reels. We just can't quit watching them. But it's not that. It's everything else that we keep cramming into it. Unload your plates. Spend some time together as a family. We took this some years ago out of our seminar just because of our arrangement. We used to talk a lot about the family table. Find some time around the family table. Listen, learn, laugh, love. Rebuild a relationship that we think sometimes comes automatically because we were born into the same bloodline and we reside in the same house. It's a matter of spending that time together and cherish it, because the reason you are running so fast is because time is moving faster than you even know. Before long, that mess of a house that you are wallowing in, the one with the muddy shoes, the dirty dishes, the piles of laundry, one day, they will be gone. I can tell you. At our house, the shoes are all rowed neatly. The coats are hung where they're supposed to. The laundry never piles up, unless we've been gone for 10 days and we just unload it. No dishes are piled in the sink. And at night, it's deathly quiet. And we went, where is the noise? Oh, they're coming. They're all coming for Thanksgiving, and it will be a whirlwind, and Tammy can't wait to hear it. But even if it's what you might consider that our time together is boredom, enjoy the boredom, because you will miss it one day. As my preaching friend who never numbers anything on his page, and I didn't number this, number next. Instill in your children contentment. And you're only going to be able to instill contentment if you find contentment. If the next thing is the only thing that you are thinking about, you are losing today. You're going to wish today away. You're going to wish the blessings of today away. You're going to wish whatever you have for whatever one day you will have. And I will just tell you, if that's the way you live your life, when you have the thing you wish you had, you won't have everything you wish you had. Because contentment, with five kids, I made a decent salary, but we didn't take big vacations. Early on, and for some of you who are younger, I'll have to back you up a little bit. It used to be that we had a machine at our house called a video cassette player recorder. And we would get a device that was a recording of motion pictures, and we'd put it in there. No, we didn't have to light a candle and crank the crank, but it was an antique thing compared to what we have now with digital streaming. But I will tell you, our family of five didn't have one of those. We had to go over to the VCR store, and we had to rent the VCR player. How humiliating. No, actually, it was really exciting. Everybody got to pick one. Not from that room, kids. Come on out of there. You know, there was always that room. You know what I'm talking about. But we'd rent three or four movies for the weekend, and we got the machine and all. It was exciting. But you know what? Now we can't even imagine that when we have far more power and access in our own hands or even on our wrists. But that's the way it was. We didn't go to the movies until they came out. I remember, please don't think of me as a bad dad. I mean, any more than you already do. But I remember one year our kids didn't get to take their new backpack and have their new school clothes until Tuesday after the Monday they started. Because I didn't get paid till Monday, and we went shopping that night, and I felt like the worst dad ever, because my kids had to wear not holy clothes, Not worn out clothes, not dirty clothes, just the clothes they had on Sunday and Saturday before. Because guess what? The kids went, didn't even know. Truthfully, didn't even care. I mean, they liked new shoes. None of them liked new Michael Jordan shoes. You know why? Because we didn't buy new Michael. I mean, I just learned that Michael Jordan makes $8 million a year just on his endorsement of Nike shoes. That's ridiculous. And I correct that. I actually think it's 80 or perhaps even 800. I mean, it's a ridiculous. It's more than he should, and it's not my money. That's all I know. My kids didn't get that. They went, why are we getting it Payless? And I went, Velcro, baby, Velcro. That's the way it's going to go. Enjoy the boredom, right? Slow down the pace. Life is moving fast enough as it is. Finally, parenting is not about process, procedure, and principles. It's about relationship. It starts with your relationship with God. It has to do with your relationship with your children, and them in turn with each other of their siblings and other family, and their relationship ultimately with God through Jesus Christ. If you lose sight of the fact that parenting is anything but that, you have missed what I believe is the divine requirement, divine mandate for parenting. Don't misunderstand. I'm not saying that if your child has not yet become a Christian, or if they are a Christian and now they have wandered off, that you have failed. What I'm saying is that is your primary purpose, is to put them into that direction. That it is a relationship that you're about. They can obey your laws in your house till they leave, but if they don't know Jesus, it won't matter a lick. You can get them into the best schools. You can train them to be the best athletes. They can be, in the world's perspective, great quality citizens who have quote-unquote wonderful families and do great good for the community and are well respected in their circles, but they don't know Jesus, or at least you haven't put them as that their primary objective, then you've not done what is the job as a parent. I simply say that not to say anything against wanting them to be healthy, wealthy, and wise, wanting them to be a good citizen, wanting them to find a good job and be good people. But what I'm saying is to sit back and go, look, my son, my daughter has accomplished this. And they go, I don't know Jesus. We have a granddaughter that is our daughter's daughter. So she's not our youngest grandchild, but she is our youngest child's. And her mother knows better in regard to the things of God, and she cycles. She wants to be that, but she thinks that wanting is enough to be that. And she says a little prayer, and she teaches Jesus loves me. But we have found in recent years that her daughter has made responses about things that she goes, I don't even know what you're talking about. Much to the chagrin of our daughter, who has been irresponsible in teaching her those things. It's like, I don't know who God is. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what. And she can't believe that because it's like, well, I know, so she must know, but she hasn't ever told her about that. And so for us, it's a matter of saying, well, then in that case, it's time for grandma and grandpa to do what grandma and grandpa do. And that is, can we tell you a little bit about Jesus? Not to keep our rules, not even to keep his rules, but we want to introduce you to the most important person in our family, and his name is Jesus. And that will be your greatest asset as you move forward, wherever you're at. Not yet parents, been parents a long time, been parents down an easy road, parents down a hard road, is to keep saying, we're going to keep our eyes and attempt to keep our children's eyes focused on Jesus. And if you do that, everything else that I and Tammy have offered, that's just gravy and not very much of it at that, because those things are just some practicals that we've gone along. We're going to wrap things up, and we're going to do so with prayer. And what I'd ask of you is that you pray for our kids. They're older now, 35 to 43-ish, but they still need some parenting. And the two people that have been charged of them have done a pretty good job, but could use all the help that they could get. And we're going to pray for you and your children, whether you even know who your children are yet. We're going to be praying for them. Thanks for being here. As always, we're thankful for the congregation and its leadership having us back. You know, somebody asked me at one time, we've known the Hayes for a while, and I said, you know who good friends are? And they go, how do you know? And I said, the people who've known you for a while, and they still like you. And they said, well, Misty is just nice, right? And I said, that's true. She's just being nice. But Diane isn't, okay? I'm just saying. But to have us back a year later, that was a very encouraging thing, and we do appreciate that. And we're going to get to stay over through tomorrow, and I'll be teaching the Bible class. Tomorrow we're going to look at what about when the traditional family isn't so traditional, when it's a single parent, maybe a mixed or blended family. We're going to talk about how can those families still be what God wants them to be and bring glory to God in the Bible class. And then a little bit about spiritual legacy during the worship hour. So if you're so inclined, be here. If you're not so inclined, be here. You know what you're supposed to do. So love to see you back tomorrow. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Thanks, everybody, for being here. And if it's raining, wherever you're going, take it easy, okay? We all want to get to Jesus, just not necessarily today, all right? God, thank you so much for this time together. I'm thankful for the opportunity you've given us as parents. At times it can be overwhelming. It can be a difficulty. And yet, Father, we also know how rewarding it is when we see you working through us in the lives of those young men and those young women. We see them become what you want them to be. And we know that you are continuing to work in their life. We are humbled that you would allow us to be part of that plan. Not just a plan to reproduce a species, but a plan to rejuvenate and reconcile a world which goes through all of us. Thank you for this time together. For the parents that are here, Father, I pray for them as they continue their parenting and for their children that they will receive the things that are offered not simply by way of order, but by way of recognition that those things are best for them. Keep us safe. Protect us, continue to guide us. We're thankful for your parental care over us, and we realize that other way than what you have done through your Son, Jesus, and for that we are thankful. It is my prayer for all of us in Jesus' name. Amen.